So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill. Fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he shields the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. Oh, he never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again.
Amen. Lord is good. Amen. And he gives us strength in a time of need. He walks with us even through the fire. We have questions. We wonder. We have doubts, confusion in this life. But God is with us. Amen. And we are so thankful for that this morning. Let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask him to be with us today. Father, we love you. Lord, how we praise you and thank you this morning that we can feel your touch, even in times of need, in times of grief, in times of heartaches and discouragement. Lord, we feel the very touch of God. And we know this morning that you are with us in a time of need. You are an ever-present help. And Lord, we thank you for that today. Lord, you know our hearts. Lord, you know our family, our church, and what we stand in need of. And Lord, we're trusting to the unseen hand today to give us what we need. Lord, I pray that you would just give us a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, help us that we've come this way, even for what we've gone through. We're here this morning to worship you and to praise you because you're worthy. Lord, I pray that you would be with Brother Brian this morning as he stands this morning to proclaim your word. I know this morning that you have something for us. Lord, thank you for the songs that you've given us this morning. May they be a help. May they be a strength. Lord, I pray that you just touch us today. Lord, I pray that, again that you'd fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Accept our worship and we'll praise you and we'll thank you for all you do and for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, would you stand with me, join the choir this morning? Let's sing exactly what the musicians were playing a few moments ago, and that is When We All Get to Heaven. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. All right, everyone sing together now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout
on the last.
Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. A couple of quick announcements. I'm sure that I'll probably have a couple of more when Brother Brian comes around, give us a little bit of direction. But please remember that the service tonight at 5 o'clock will be downstairs in the fellowship hall. We'll have a short time of fellowship, a short devotion, and just a great time of fellowship. Amen. We need to love on one another. Amen. And you just pray that we have a good service this morning. Again, 5 o'clock this evening. Also, there'll be a quick deacons meeting right after the morning service. Right after the morning service, Brother Ceylon's class. Deacons, please join in that quick meeting right after the morning service today as we get the calendar ready for November. And so you'd be much in prayer for that as well. Any other announcements that need to be made? I don't really know of anything else at all. So you just be in prayer for the service today. And let's pray the Lord to give us just a great day in His house. We just need a touch from heaven. Amen. And that's what we're praying for. So let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Brother Ceylon, would you pray for the service this morning as well as the offering? When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valleys He led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? And why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go where He does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and just what I need. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Oh, I believe Him now. After all these years, He's been so faithful. He's proven to be true. Oh, nevermore will I doubt or question why. Cause I've seen Him work before, and I know what God can do. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. Cause I've been to know that He'll be enough for me. Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's all He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Jesus is all you need. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for Church, would you sing with me this morning? He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need.
Brother Brian. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of John, chapter number 20. John, chapter number 20. And while you find your places here, I do need to add to one of the announcements that was made. Tonight, the service is going to be downstairs, and I'm going to preach to you guys again tonight. So I hope you don't get your full of me yet today. But I would also say that the Children's Home will not be here tonight. The Children's Home has a church that's meeting over at the Children's Home this afternoon. And so you don't have to bring as much food. come one, come all. But, don't spend a whole bunch of money on the food. And then after our service, let's go. If you drive past the Children's Home, you need to swing by there because that church is bringing an absolute feast. And those boys, they cook off and they challenge each other and they make brisket and barbecue and chicken and all that great stuff. And that's good. And so if you're familiar with this church, then you know that this is probably one of the more challenging assignments of my life, right? My dear friend Dion Lauder went to be with the Lord this week. I was sitting with Miss Elna on Friday when she signed the papers to take him off of the life-saving measures that had kept him alive for the last week. And she had a strength from a different planet. I won't lie to you. She had a full trust in God who has cared for her and led her over here. And I said something to her. I said, Miss Elna, how much did God, she just walked out of the room where she signed those papers. I said, how much did God love us? And when I was saying us, I meant this church. I meant our Children's Home. How much did God love the two Calvaries that He moved you guys all the way across the ocean to give us the last best 25 years of Dion's life? You know, what a gift. Can I ask you a question? Would you raise a glass if you had one today to a God that would share Dion Lauder with you? I mean, come on, a God that would say, this church gets him, this is the place that he gets to go, this Children's Home gets him, and he's precious. And I said, he was just an extraordinary gift to us. And she looked back to me with a resolute approach, and she said, Brian, he was an extraordinary gift to DNA and I as well. And somewhere in that conversation, she said to me, Brian, Calvary is our family. We left our family all back in Africa. Calvary is our family. And to that, I said, with all my heart, yes. With all my heart, we're your family. And we're honored to be your family. And while Dion was so strong and just such a great addition to our family. I do know that all of the efforts of his life were geared towards sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Everything that he did was because Jesus Christ had made a difference in his life, and he brought the goodness of God to our lives and to this earth in our world. And so I know that today he would want me to preach and keep on bringing the goodness of God. And so if you've got John chapter number 20, the best thing that I can do in these moments is follow the Lord, and I'm certain that this is the direction that the Lord had us go in today. It's odd because it's such a happy place in the Scriptures, and we are feeling sadness, but let me just say to you that the Sunday that is outlined in John chapter number 20 is the happiest Sunday in the history of the world. Because of John chapter number 20, you can have everlasting life. Because of John chapter number 20, you can reconnect to God. Because of John chapter number 20, you can get all your sins washed away. Because of John chapter number 20, there's a way to get off the planet alive. And because of the truths that are found in John chapter number 20, sure as I am standing here today, it won't be that long till I'll be fishing with Dion again, right? It won't be that long, right? And so that is just truth. It's a great. At the same time, this marvelous Sunday, which there's never been a Sunday more consequential in your life or mine, was preceded by a Friday that was horrific, right? I mean, a Friday where the greatest injustice in the history of the world occurred. When you think about the great injustices of the world, what comes to your mind? Do you think of the Holocaust, where people were literally killed for their ethnicity? Absolutely nothing to do with anything other than the fact that they were Jewish. Do you think of 9/11? How many of you guys were alive on 9/11? It seems like that was yesterday to me, but 2001, I believe it was, at any rate, where those planes ran into those buildings. You know what was crazy about that? Well, you speak of an injustice. An injustice is something that's not fair. I spent the night with Dion on, I think it was Tuesday of that week, before he died, and the nurse was giving him medicines, and I said, "Get him up out of that bed. Give him those medicines. Get him up out of that bed." And she looked at me and she said, "It's not fair. I'm sorry, it's not fair. Those drugs weren't to get him up." But injustice is something that's not fair. The people who blew up the World Trade Centers, you know what's crazy? 1 second after they did that, they realized they were wrong. I mean, 1 second after they did that, they realized that they had murdered people that they actually had never met. They had murdered people they might have liked if they could have had a conversation. They had done that. These were great injustices. But I would say the greatest injustice in the history of the world is the day we killed Jesus, right? Because he's the only innocent one. He's the only innocent life that has ever walked on the face of the earth. And the people who killed him were the very same people he had come to save. And the people who killed him were the very same people that he had given life and every good and perfect gift that had ever come into their lives. And they turned on him and murdered him and created this crazy, crazy injustice. And it was terrible. And they did not just murder him. Carter, I want you to remember, they thoroughly murdered him. And that's an important part of this story today. They murdered him in an atrocious way, and they tortured him. You recall they beat him so badly, the Bible says that he was not recognizable as a man. Most times when somebody has beaten, been that badly beaten, they don't survive that. But furthermore, on the day that he was crucified, they literally beat him so badly that he did not survive the crucifixion. He died before the others, and the next day was the Sabbath. And so, ironically, the people who were crucifying him didn't want these dying bodies hanging up on a cross on the Sabbath day. So they asked Pilate if they could go break their legs. And literally, the Bible says the soldiers, John watched it. He said, "I saw it." The soldiers walked up and they broke the legs of the guy right next to him, and they broke the legs of the other guy right next to him. But when they got to Jesus, he was already dead. The reason they broke their legs is so they couldn't push up and keep breathing. When you run out of air, you run out of life. And we've seen that a time or two recently. And so when they went to do that, but when he was already dead, a soldier did something. Do you remember what a soldier did? To prove he was dead, they took a spear and shoved it in his side. And when he pulled that spear out, and this is what John said, "I saw happen." The Bible says that blood and water came out of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that is significant is because after your death, when your heart is no longer pumping and it's no longer stirring the fluids in your body like oil and water, the fluids will separate. And the fact that water and blood came out of Jesus meant he was good and dead. And for a minute, you could jump into these characters in the Bible, their experience, by thinking about how we understand so thoroughly that death closes beautiful doors, doesn't it? Doesn't death close beautiful doors? I think of Miss Lucille. We did her funeral this year in the early part of this year. The crazy thing about that is, for all of my career, all 26 years at Calvary Children's Home, her desk has been out in the open area of the office. And all 26 years, I walked past that desk and there was nothing but goodness, nothing but kindness, nothing but encouragement, nothing but trying to help the people of God, nothing but a blessing to me. And her death has ended all of those beautiful things. I think of my grandma. I told you guys at the funeral or maybe in a church service that my grandma was so kind to me when I lived in Pennsylvania, 700 miles from Emaw. She would mail me Brunswick stew. And something the young people have to understand is back in those days, you didn't have Amazon, right? There was no Amazon. There was no internet. There was no Amazon back then. It was you go fetch, right? And if you were going to get Brunswick stew, you couldn't just go get it. Somebody had to mail it. And with her death, all of that beauty in my life, all of that internal care, nobody on the outside coaching her, be a better Meemaw, be a better, it just came from within her heart. That door has closed. With Dion's death, it reminds me also of how when a younger person dies, we don't just mourn what we have lost, we mourn a little bit of what could have been. Dion still had color in his hair. As I walk into this auditorium today, I can just sense a sadness, right? There's a sadness in here because of what could have been and what was lost. Well, consider this. Jesus Christ died when he was 33 years old, and he had brought a wave of goodness onto the world. Nothing but incredible help had poured forth from him, and with his death, it appeared to the disciples all of that was lost. And on this Sunday morning, as we look at the scriptures, there's nothing but sorrow. I need you to dig in for the next couple minutes as I give you the backdrop of the story. The Bible tells us in this passage that Mary Magdalene has gone down to the grave. I've got a kindred heart with hers because in times of joy, in times of sadness, whatever's going on, my happy place is how can I help, right? I just try to find, no matter what's going on, how can I be a help and how can I just jump in, because it's almost therapeutic to me. It gets my mind off the sorrows and it just helps me deal with things. And Mary Magdalene has gone down to the tomb where Jesus was, assuming that he's still in the tomb. And I guess she thought she was going to do something kind to his body. One of the other scriptures says they had brought ointment, whatnot. And she just was saying, hey, what else can I do and I can serve? But much to her surprise, the stone was rolled away and it didn't look like he was in there, right? And the fact that that empty tomb was there set off some running. From that point forward, everybody in the story starts running. The Bible says Mary Magdalene goes tearing off back to tell the disciples, right? She tells in this text, Peter and John, and they tear off running. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. Hasn't that empty tomb set some motion off in the earth? Hasn't it? So very good. It's the purpose of my life, that empty tomb. At any rate, Peter and John go down there. John is so humbled through the entire chapter, he calls himself the other disciple. He never even names himself as that disciple. But in this instance, when he and Peter ran down to the tomb, he pointed out that he beat Peter. The Bible says, he did outrun Peter, right? I mean, John's a teenager. Peter's probably 20 or 30. He lost a step a little bit, and John beat him down to the tomb. But John, being a teenager, does not go into the tomb. Tombs are scary places. Peter gets there second, and he goes into the tomb, and he finds that the Lord Jesus Christ is not there. But Brantley, he finds that the napkin that was over his head has been folded and set aside. And I'm sure by now, because of the internet, you've all heard the legend of the napkin. When the master folded his napkin at the table and left, it meant he was coming back. If he wadded it up, he was done with his meal. Jesus is not done. Jesus is still working. He folded that napkin. He's coming back. Amen, right? And so they were like, what on earth is going on? And Peter and John, the Bible says, leave and go back to their house. But there is Mary Magdalene. She's down there without the disciples. And the Bible says Jesus shows up. The living Jesus shows up. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. But she pictures him. She doesn't see him. Maybe just sees him out of her peripheral vision. And she thinks he's the gardener. And do you remember what happened? John chapter number 20 says, she says to him essentially, if you have taken him away from here, tell me where you've taken him, and I will take care of him. That's what she says. This woman, thinking she's going to carry the body of Jesus, she wants to care for him in any way that she can. But Jesus says to her, Mary? Wow. And with that, it's on. The hope for the earth has just busted loose. Because Jesus is alive after death, you and I can live after death. If Jesus Christ was still dead, that would mean he is still paying for our sins, and there are some that are yet to be paid for. But because the Bible tells you clearly Jesus is alive, there is hope for me and you. Do you remember Dolly Parton's song? He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, praise the Lord. He is alive. And then the Bible says he tells Mary to tell the disciples something. It's important. It's not in our reading, but I want you to hear it. He said, go tell my brethren. You have to catch those words. Go tell my brethren that I ascend to my Father and their Father and my God and their God. And Mary tears off to tell them. And we pick up the story in John chapter number 20, verse number, if you will, 19. And the Bible says, in the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. It is important that you notice those words. Jesus could have said, what were you thinking? I mean, after all, what had these disciples done? They couldn't stay with them awake while he prayed. God had to dispatch an angel. They had abandoned him. One of them had denied him. The other one had betrayed him, if you recall. Judas, who's now dead, had betrayed him. He could have said, what are you thinking? Why did he say, peace be unto you? Can I tell you why? Because Jesus Christ died for your sins and has rose again. The Bible says that your sins are now completely, totally atoned for. Do you know what my favorite verse in all the Bible is? Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Number one, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. God's not mad at you. Think about why he said this first. God's not mad at you because God had poured the wrath of God on Jesus Christ for your sins, and now he's alive, he's done paying, and you can have peace with God. Yay! Peace with God. Peace be unto you, he said. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I came to bring the help of God. I came to bring the love of God. You go and take the help of God. You bring the mercy of God. You bring the compassion of God. You bring the great, glorious gospel of God and be about that great work. And the Bible says in verse number 24, if you'll skip down to that, verse 22, we got to catch that. Verse number 22 says, and when he, Jesus, had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The breath of God is life-giving. Think about that. Do you remember when God created Adam? The Bible says he made him out of the dust of the earth and then he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living being. If you ever hear me pray, God breathe on my church, God breathe on my family, God breathe on my kids, it is because the breath of God is life-giving, and he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit, which they would do at Pentecost. But verse number 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And this is one of those aw man moments. Have you ever missed something that everybody else is talking about? You know what I mean? A great football play or an enormous deer or whatever it might be, an incredible experience, and everybody's talking about it, but you missed it, right? This is aw man, but this is the aw man on steroids. What had he missed? He missed Jesus alive, right? He's like, not fair. I missed that. Oh, that's terrible. But verse number 25 says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But watch how he responds. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Wait, what? Wait, what? I mean, Thomas is a guy who has walked with the Lord Jesus Christ and seen his many miracles. What's going on here? First of all, it's very important that you catch what I'm about to say. Thomas is not a lifelong atheist. He is not someone who has spent his life trying to disprove the Bible or disprove Jesus. Thomas is part of the family of God. I'll prove it to you. Do you remember what Jesus Christ said? He told Mary Magdalene, go tell my what? My brethren. I go to their father, my father and their father, my God and their God, right? They're part of the family of God. I'll prove it to you further. Thomas is not an unbelieving person. He is part of the family of God. Jesus Christ prayed and said, all you have given me, I have lost none, save, he referenced Judas Iscariot, right? Thomas is part of the people who have been kept in the family of God. He has seen God work in his life, and yet there's something that has happened in his life that has shaken his belief. There's something that has caused him to be in a season of disbelief, and it's such a season of disbelief that he actually says, unless I see it, I will not believe. And you know what the crazy thing about that is? If you see something, it's not faith to believe it. It's called knowledge, right? If you lay eyes on it, that's not faith. That's called knowledge, and you can grow in that knowledge. But he was saying essentially that, you know what? This trauma that I've experienced in my life has pushed me away, and I'm not going to believe it unless I literally see it with my own eyes. And you might think, oh, Thomas is just out of luck. For all the times in the Bible, Jesus Christ said, you look for a sign, and none shall be given unto you. But Thomas is part of the family of God. Thomas is part of the family of God. And when I think about this experience that he's having in his life, I can say to you for certainty that I have seen it in the life of other believers in my life. I've seen it in my life. I'm going to share it with you in just a second. But I see it also in the scriptures. Do you remember with the children of Israel, what God had done for them? God had rescued them, literally sent the plagues upon Egypt, split the Red Sea. God had literally fought for them. And then they come to that place where they got to go into the promised land, where they got to get what God actually has for them. But there's giants in the land. Do you remember that? And the 10 spies came back and said, oh, it's too hard. We can't go. We're like grasshoppers and they're so big. And for a second and in a season, they backed away from what they had seen. They forgot what they had seen. They had forgot what God had told them to do. And their challenge caused their faith to be greatly weakened. In fact, you might recall, they wanted to start a full-scale mutiny. They said, name another captain, and we're going back the other direction. It is dangerous to run away from God when your faith is shaken. It's dangerous to run away from God. You know why? God is light, God is love, God is hope. When you start running the other direction, you can bump into things in the dark, and they surely did. I think of the great man, John the Baptist. All throughout Scripture, he is heralded as a great man, but when he was kidnapped and put in prison and he was about to get his head cut off, you remember what happened? This thing he was seeing with his eyes shook his faith. And he actually sent a message to Jesus, are you really the Messiah or do we look for somebody else? You know what's crazy about that? John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in the mother's womb. He's the only one. The Bible says he leaped. He liked to move it, right? He was the only one that got that experience. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ and said, behold the Lamb of God. When he baptized Jesus, what happened? The Spirit of God, he saw descend like a dove, and the voice of God was heard. And yet, in this challenging and difficult circumstance that he was facing, it caused his faith to be weakened and to be shaken. And I'll be honest with you, with my big, strong friend Dion, buckled by something we couldn't even see, my faith got pretty battered. And last week, I remember after Monday, when we had prayed and prayed and prayed, CJ called for prayer before he had the surgery. The deacons met right there. And if you were part of the deacon group, you know I watered that pew. And I begged God before the surgery to touch my friend. And we prayed throughout. I saw Dwayne Swan literally lay over on his bed and tears from his eyes raining down on Dion's bed, begging God for his life. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we sought the Lord. And I didn't get the sense, I'll be honest with you, in my prayer time when Chuck Sprayberry died, the minute I started praying, I knew he was dead. When Charlie Kirk got shot, the minute I started praying, I knew he was dead. I never got that from Dion. I always had a hopeful experience. But we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And last meeting, at the end of my leaders' meeting, my boss looked over. I know this was God's will with my battered, broken faith, right? And I remember my boss looked over at me. He said, hey, Brian, would you pray for Dion? And there was a little part of me, a little voice in the back of my head said, what's the point? God's done nothing. I have called out and I've begged. God's done nothing. And I hate pretense above everything. My wife will tell you I've got this hypocrite button. If there's anything in my life that's hypocritical, I hate it. I don't want to be pretentious. And so here I am in front of the leaders at our children's home, and I'm going to be the one that words our prayer. And so you know what I did? I opened up and I started my prayer like this. God, I bring my battered faith to you. They need him. And we need him. And for just a few moments, my faith hung between two things, faith and doubt. And honestly, there was a part of me that has faith that says, God, I still believe in you. But there's another part of me that says, God, where are you? Where are you? And I think to myself, as I think about that, I consider how often in the scriptures the people found themselves in these difficult and these challenging places, but they were wise to keep going to God. They're wise to keep leaning in on God, because God calls out and God responds to doubting hearts that will keep pushing his direction. And the story with Thomas is, yes, he was a doubting Thomas. And yes, he didn't believe, but he kept hanging out with the disciples, right? He kept hanging out with the disciples. And you just got to see what happened. I'm going to finish that story in just a minute. But verse number 25, go with me. And the Bible says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Good decision, Thomas. Good decision not to run away from God. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. I love that. Dion was not really good with social order either. Jesus doesn't even use the door, right? The doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. That same phrase, your sins are paid for. Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. No way. There's no way to translate this other than Jesus' effort still to doubting Thomas was, I want you to believe. I want you to trust in me. I want you to depend upon me. And he said those things. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. You're not just my God. I'll follow you to the end. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Don't look now, but Jesus just called you blessed. You haven't seen Jesus, but how many of you believe in him? How many of you believe in him? I do, right? Jesus called you blessed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, watch this, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believe in that believing you might have life through his name. Jesus is a life-giving Savior. And Thomas is back in the all-in column. He literally said, you're my Lord and you're my God. And in this experience, I can say to you, of Thomas' experience, I see one thing that he did correctly, and I see two things that he did incorrectly. Let's quickly cover them. The first thing Thomas did is he didn't run away from the people of God when his faith was battered. He didn't run away from the people of God when his faith was battered. He was still hanging out with the disciples. And you can imagine what the stories that they were sharing. I mean, Jesus has died. What have we been doing for days and days? We've been telling Dion stories and all the adventures, right? I can imagine the disciples were telling the stories. Do you remember the crazed naked guy, right? Jesus cast out the demons and put him in the pig. That was awesome. Do you remember how happy the parents were when Jesus raised their dead daughter back to life? Do you remember the first time that guy saw something and he asked us what color that was, and we told him it was red? Do you remember those things? They told those things. And being around the people of God, if you find yourself in a season where your faith is battered, find yourself walking with people who are whole heart walkers with Jesus, people who are all in walking with Jesus, because you will get to see God move in their life. You'll get to see God move in their life. When you stay in church and you stay around the people of God, you get to see those things. I saw so much in Dion and Elna's life. I've got to tell a few stories from their life today. Dion told me, and Elna told me, that when they were in Africa, they felt called of God to come to this country. It was a huge leap of faith. They came with just a few $100 and a couple suitcases. It might have been $2,000 and some suitcases. And Dion came first, and it was a great challenge to them, but they felt called of God to come here. And Elna told me, we're Baptist to the bone, and I'm very careful with visions, but Elna told me God gave her a vision in Africa where she literally saw Calvary Children's Home before they ever stepped on this place. And she saw Dion walking away from a blue tractor. Calvary Children's Home for years had a blue tractor. And she said she didn't even know what it was, but she felt like that was where they were supposed to be and was a place that she would be called to and would be so good for them. Maybe it was a dream, maybe it was a vision. I don't know, but she said in her prayer time, God demonstrated that to her. And so just blind faith, they came to the country. When they got to this country, they moved about three doors down from this church, and they didn't want to come to this church. Do you know why they didn't want to come to this church? Because Calvary in Afrikaans means death. And they're like, what kind of creepy people would name their church death, right? But they felt stirred by the Spirit of God to go to the church of death. Can you believe that? They didn't know we had a children's home. They didn't know that this was the ministry that housed Calvary Children's Home, but they came just at the direction of the Spirit of God. Maybe some of you guys didn't know that Elna was a caseworker in Africa, and she governed 400 orphans over there, and they were such a great fit to come to our church. And weren't they an incredible blessing? One time, Elna told our youth group a story from her life where literally somebody had given her a dirty CD, like a bad music CD, when she was a teenager, and she was so ashamed of it. She was trying to get rid of it, but she ended up in a car, and she was driving, and she said as they were getting there, she was so ashamed, and the person had asked her to hand this CD off to somebody else, and she was so torn. When she passed this thing off, she didn't want to do it, and as they drove, she looked down, and she saw that out of her purse, that CD had slid out, and she bent down to grab that CD, and she woke up a few weeks later because they were in a horrific car crash, and everyone in the car died but her. Everyone in the car died but her, except for the fact that she had bent down to get that CD. She would have died. Dion told the story of how one of his legs was shorter, you might recall. His legs was shorter and it hurt his back terribly. And some friends at a barbecue gathered around him and prayed. And he said, literally, God touched his leg. And all of these things and these stories out of their life, irrefutable to them. Dion's the one walking around with a good back, right? They're the one, she knows she's alive. She knows that came. All of these stories were so good for me to hear and see the move of God in their life. I think of how recently David Henderson spoke on a Wednesday night. He shared the story of how his father had beaten his mother, literally beaten her, and that God called on him to forgive. And I remember I was standing up from the podium, and as I was standing there, I could see the audience of the kids, and there were several kids that were weeping while he shared that story, right? Weeping. But he said, God has taught me to forgive and I'm free. And when we're around the people of God, right? When we're around the people of God, we get to see God move in their life and it grows our faith. Who could ever deny the story of CJ and the Moss family? Does everybody know that story? I won't retell it. It's crazy. How could you deny the move of God of how God connected them? They prayed for him for years and didn't know who he was. They came to our children's home and God told him to reach out to them. Crazy, 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 right? Unbelievable, undeniable move of God. And it's so good for us to keep hanging out and giving God another chance to prove himself. Don't run away. Here's what the enemy of your soul would like for you to do. The natural tendency of a fire is to go out, right? And if you take one coal away from the fire, right, what's going to happen? Automatically, that coal is going to go out before everything else. Stay close to the fire. Stay close to where God is moving, where God is up to something, and it will heat your life up some. The reason the enemy of your soul wants to batter you with doubts is he thinks he can pull you away, and in the dark, you start bumping into things that will not help you. Thomas was wise. He kept hanging out with the Christian boys. He was wise. Don't let the storms of your life push you away. But you know what he did that was unwise? Thomas forgot what he had seen. Thomas got to a place in his life where he's experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ. What shook Thomas's faith, by the way? You can see it right in the scriptures. He said, unless I see the nails and you know, in the prints where he's been crucified, I won't believe. You know why? Because in Thomas's experience, everybody who'd been crucified on a Roman cross was dead today, right? 100% of crucified people are dead. He's dead, and this has shaken my faith in his experience. But he forgot that he had walked with Jesus, and Thomas very likely had maybe had dinner with Lazarus after he had been raised from the dead. Thomas saw that experience. We know Thomas was on the boat when Jesus said, peace be still, because they all were there, right? They woke him up and Jesus said, peace be still. We think about other scenes in his life. What about the time when Jesus Christ made multiplied the fish and the bread. This is an important detail. He had multiplied the fish and the bread and sent it out to feed the 5,000. But does anybody remember how much they had left over? Can anybody remember? They had 12 baskets. You know why that was? That was a to-go basket for every one of the disciples. And Thomas got to hold in his hand a hand-brought to-go basket provided miraculously by Almighty God. And he had just forgotten what he had seen. So back to my prayer, if you'll allow this. Back to my prayer. I'm praying, God, they need you. God, we need him. They need him. Where are you, God? That's what I'm praying, right? But in the middle of that, I remembered all the stories I just told you. I remembered that this is a guy who had miraculous healing. I remember this is a guy who had God move on their life miraculously for their citizenship. I remember that God had spared Elna's life through that car accident. I remember how God had drawn them to us and put us in this place. And in remembering those things, it caused me to believe God's not asleep at the wheel. God sees this very thing. We don't understand it, but he does. And I'm not going to forget the things that I saw. I'm just not going to forget those things. I know what God has shown me, and I see what God has demonstrated, and I know God is keeping his word to me and to you and will help us through this. I don't understand why Dion Lauder is not here with us today. I do not, but I refuse to believe that God has broken his promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. I refuse to believe that he has broken his promise that he is with us always. I refuse to believe that he won't be a help to us in times of trouble, and I know down to the bottom of my heart that we will one day see him again. Think about how important it was for the people of God to remember what they had seen in David's life. It got him on the battlefield. He said, I remember the Lord delivered me from a paw of the lion and a bear. In Joshua and Caleb's life, they remember what they had seen, and they argued against those other spies, and they said, they are bread for us. Look at what all God has done for us. He will carry us into the promised land. It got Joshua and Caleb into the promised land. Do not forget what you have seen. Do not forget what all God has done in your life, your family's life, the people around you in times of trouble. It will strengthen you. And most importantly, do not forget what God has said. Thomas forgot what God has said. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles, Mark chapter number 9. We're almost done. Mark chapter number 9. And this is listed throughout the scriptures. Jesus Christ said these things several times. But in Mark 9, we see where Jesus told them what was going to happen. Mark 9, verse 31. Can you get it on the board, please? This is pre-Jesus Christ's death. You ready? For he, Jesus, taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. How about that? Jesus Christ had told them in another place he would be betrayed. Jesus Christ had told them in another place the chief priests would war against them. And literally, if Thomas had remembered what God had said, he could have seen it happen in chronological order. First he was betrayed, then he was delivered to sinners, then the chief priests got involved, then he was killed. And what comes next? What does the last thing say? He will rise again the third day. Imagine the disciples had remembered that. Jesus had told them this many times. Imagine for a minute they had remembered, okay, he's been betrayed. We just saw that happen, okay? He was turned over to sinners, okay? The chief priests have gotten involved, and now they've killed him. What comes next? He's going to rise again the third day. If they had remembered it, what would have happened? They would have been on a hill far away with a looking glass, right? They would have been like, here comes, you know, it's going to be awesome. I mean, the Bible says there was an earthquake, and an angel rolled the stone away. Wouldn't you like to have seen that? They could have experienced that and been like, you talk about a touchdown dance. Woo! Right? He's alive. They could have remembered. And you know what I remember today? I remembered a precious verse that God gave me when Thomas Roberts died. And literally in my soul, the Lord Jesus Christ quoted this verse to me. And I'm going to read it to you today because this is what Jesus Christ has told us. There's coming a day. You ready? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Can you get that on the board, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18? I'll say it again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How shall we ever be? You know how shall we ever be? We shall ever be with them. We shall ever be with them. Who's them? Dion Lauder, my grandmother, Lucille Turner, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Next verse, wherefore comfort one another with these words. In the challenging and the stressful and the difficult times of life, when your faith has been rocked, could I challenge you to look back on your life and see what God has done? Has there ever been a season in your life where you gave God credit for helping you along the way? And today, maybe you have forgotten that, or in these challenging times, we forgot that. Has there ever been a time where God has spoken things to you or said things through his scripture that could be a great strength to you, and you dare not go running from Jesus and from his people in times of trouble? That's when you need God's help the most. I know good and well that Dion Lauder would have wanted you to hear that today. I know good and well he would have, because it's what God gave me for you. God, I love you today, and I thank you for these precious people. I thank you for this church that we call home, and I thank you for the lives that are here and the help that's here and the many testimonies. I could have gone family to family. I literally could have gone pew to pew and told stories from their lives of how you have walked with them and helped them in seasons of trouble, in times of blessing, through heartache and challenges. That's our story, God. You've been our friend to us today, and we're glad for your faithfulness. And God, we cry out to you today for more strength, for more help. God, I heard that song where Brother Clayton sang, he'll take you through the fire again. God, if we're going to be standing on the other side of it, it's only going to be because that you did carry us to the fire, through the fire, God. And I pray in Jesus' mighty name that if there's a hurting heart today, that they wouldn't say today, I got this, I'll figure it out, I'll do it my way. I pray, God, that they let those bent knees be a sign to the Lord, I need your help, God, because I do know that you will be a friend and a helper to me. And I ask you, O God, to look our way and breathe upon us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let me say this as you consider coming to the altar today. After I began to reflect on what God had done in the life of Dion and Elna previously, my prayer switched. And I said, okay, God, it looks like you said no. Right? I've begged and begged and begged for his life. But if you're saying no, and if I hear that correctly, then God, I pray that you would help me to be your love to them. God, show me a way that I can be their love to, your love to them. And because I kept going to Jesus through my battered faith, God gave me a crazy idea. I actually ended up spending the night at a hospital. Literally, I spent the night in a hospital. And I did that just so I could take my cell phone and put it next to his ear and let the girls from the children's home tell him what he meant to them, right? And tell him how important he was. And they sang a song, and it echoed through his ear as he was getting ready to leave this place. And that night, as I lay there and I played him sermons and I played him songs and I prayed for him, I got another idea. And I thought to myself, you know what? How can we be a blessing? I can get the church to call him. And the next Wednesday, the next day, I preached on a Wednesday night, and I stood up in front of the church, and we had a call log. Literally, some of you guys were here, and every 10 minutes, we signed up somebody to call Dion, and Alan Young was going to spend the next night. And so for 2 hours, every 10 minutes, somebody else called and said, Dion, you're the best. And we thank God for you, Dion. And you go take ease with Jesus, right? You did a good job. Dion would say in recent days, hey, I hope I made a difference in your life. Did he say that to anybody in here? He said that to me and to CJ and to others. I hope I made a difference. Oh, you made a big difference. But you know what? I am so glad that with my battered faith, I kept praying. I'm so glad with my battered faith, I kept praying, because I ended up in a hospital. I ended up with some great ideas. People said to me, that was a great idea. That came from the Lord. That was something that came from the Lord. I can't take any credit for that. And on Friday, I got to be there as she signed those papers, and she said to me, we're family. Oh, yes, we're family, right? Oh, yes. You want to keep coming to Jesus. Would you ask the Lord for help? Would you bring your battered faith to Jesus? Would you stand to your feet? If the Lord has spoken to your heart, would you come? And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to come let me know that so I can tell you how you can get your sins paid for. I'd be glad to do that. Altar's open. Come on. We need some help from God, church. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And
God, help us.
Thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark thought to thee, whose blood can cleanse.
God, as I bow my head and my heart with the folks that are praying in the altar today, I say to you in front of my friends, I still believe, God. I still believe. And I'm grateful today for the life that you gave us in Dion Lauder, God. I'm so grateful that you chose us and you sent him our direction. And he was a great help, God. Mission accomplished. If you sent him our direction to be a friend, mission accomplished. Well done, King Jesus. You got great ideas, God. You have the best ideas, and I pray for these folks who are bowed in the altar. Maybe they've got different storms and different trials and different struggles in their life, and I pray that you'd do for them what you've done for me so many times, that you'd give that heavenly insight, God, that you'd give that breath of God, just that sense of direction, God, what's next, God, that help, that strength, oh God. And we ask you to look down on us and hear our prayers today, Father, Lord. We beg you, God, that you'd help Elna and DNA. I can't believe the strength that Miss Elna walked in. God, you did help her so. I thank you for those who were a friend to them. And as we just finish our time up here today, we say we don't need less of you, Jesus. We need more of you, Jesus. We pray, oh God, that you would not stand at a distance, but God, you would be all up in our business. We need you badly, badly. And we pray that you would do what only you can do, and that is take this broken, sad thing and make it beautiful. And Father, we just are so grateful for you, God. We trust in you. We lean upon you. We still love you, Jesus. We still love you. And we're grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some are still praying, but in just a second, you can be dismissed. Remember, 5 o'clock here today. And
no choir practice today, choir. No choir practice.
Carry the love of God. He said, Eve, the Lord sent me, so send I you. Go show the mercy, the compassion, the kindness of God. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.